I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14, fog all over the place, so bad that I can't see the Crescent City Connection, and it's lit up from my perch atop the, the Regions Bank Building? What is it this week? I think the Regions Bank Building, that's where, yeah. Poydras and Magazine, so be careful out there. Make sure you got the lights on, of course, and no flashers unless you're stopped. That's what the law says. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Not a great weekend overall. I had a hard time sleeping Saturday night. I had a hard time sleeping last night because I'm a fan and I take this stuff seriously. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Yeah, tough weekend for the purple and gold and black and gold, that's for sure.
Where do you want to start with LSU? Because, man, it seemed like it was going well for a while.
Well, I think let's start with the lack of this team, other than the Arkansas game, and maybe I guess you could look at the second half of the UCLA game, the fact that they cannot run the football. And at times, they don't even seem interested in wanting to run the football or have very little confidence that they can run the football. We went into this season saying, hey, this could be one of the best offensive lines in LSU history. And here we are, and this team just flat out just struggles to run the football. And it's just really – it's baffling. It really is. And they had 10 possessions. 10 possessions in that game, and on every – first play of that possession, they attempted a pass. I mean, it just wasn't – it was like they didn't – I guess what happened to the days of, hey, guys, let's try to establish the run here. We got control of the game. Let's really exert our will on this defense. And, maybe it might have resulted in them putting up some more points in the first half. And I agree with Brian Kelly. It takes some of the pressure off Garrett Nussmeier. As Brian Kelly said, he doesn't feel like he has to stand on his head in order to win a football game. And that's just, I think that's where it starts. And then you can go to not being ready for a potential running quarterback. But I'll also say there was something that was in Texas A&M's favor that LSU really couldn't defend, was one the crowd got to the Tigers, unfortunately. And then there's something, you know, we can look at all the stats and all this and that, but there's one thing you can never factor really in any sporting event, and that is momentum. And when Garrett Nussmeier threw that first touchdown pass and A&M brought in their backup quarterback and scored on the next play, the momentum clearly shifted. And even though LSU did get a touchdown to kind of back off the momentum a little bit, it was too much. It was just too much, and LSU ended up crumbling there in College Station.
I don't think Garrett Nussmeier was the same after he got stepped on.
I agree with you, Tommy, and it just didn't seem like the accuracy was there. It just didn't seem like he had it wasn't the Garrett Nussmeier that we normally see. But then again, that's where it comes into, you know, why – you know, why put so much on his shoulders? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a good wide receiving core that LSU has. It's not great. There are not two first-round draft picks on this wide receiving core like you had last season. And I don't know, maybe Joe Sloan is kind of remembering the days of when they had a guy like Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and you didn't really have to worry so much about calling runs, and because Jaden Daniels can run and all this, but it was so much of a focus in the off season, and to have a game where you rush less than 30 yards in a contest that you need to have some sort of at least a balanced attack. To me, that's just very, very frustrating, especially when you have a 10-point lead at half. And what you have an opportunity to do is, as I said, you can really take control of the football game. And they stopped A&M on its first possession. They did exactly what they needed to do in the first possession in the second half, and then it just the Nussmeier interception, and that was it.
So why could they not run the ball? Was the Texas A&M front that good? Because this is supposed to be one of the better offensive lines in the country.
Well, that Texas A&M front is very good. I mean, we can't take anything away from them. They got a potential 2 first-round picks there. There's no doubt about that. But LSU's got a potential 2 first-round picks there. You know, it's Mike Elko, the Texas A&M head coach, when he was asked during the week about the matchup in the trenches, he called it the $10 million matchup because you got a lot of guys on both the offensive and defensive line, the offensive line for LSU and the defensive line for Texas A&M, they're going to be making millions of dollars in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And let's see which one wins out. And it's A&M that's winning out. Now, I understand there's a lot of plays that, you know, LSU goes up to the line of scrimmage and they're looking at keys. And if there's a key that tells them that they got to throw the football, then they're going to throw the football. But I don't know. I just remember the days, Tommy, and they weren't that long ago, where you would come out and start a drive and say, hey, guys, we're going to try to run the ball here. Let's see if we can. And Kirk Herbstreit brought up a really good point during the game. When you're throwing on first down and then you get an incompletion, you're 2nd and 10 against a really good defense.
That's right.
And then they tried to run the ball, and they would only get 1 yard or 2 yards.
Then what are you looking at?
And then it's 3rd and 8.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. And to me, that's where this game just really fell apart. And if LSU loses the Ole Miss game, Tommy, a lot of discussion after that game would have been, why can't LSU run the football? But because Garrett Nussmeier made the plays down the stretch and LSU wins in overtime, that all got forgotten. But that game played out a lot like this one, other than LSU was trailing in the Ole Miss game. But LSU nearly abandoned the run game in the Ole Miss game as well, but they were able to make up for it at the end. Here, they just completely abandoned it from the beginning, and it just never gave Texas A&M a different look, and the Aggies then were able to tee off on Garrett Nussmeier, especially in the fourth quarter.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Jeff Palermo about the LSU game on Saturday night against Texas A&M. Crumble, collapse, whatever word you want to use. There's no way to dress it up. That's exactly what happened. We'll talk about moving forward when we come back. 504-260-1870. That's the Okunard Jeweler talking text line if you have any questions or comments. Foggy morning out. Let's look at traffic on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo about the LSU game on Saturday night, the collapse against Texas A&M. One thing, Jeff, before we get to looking ahead, these procedure penalties, I don't know. You know, Brian Kelly was pounding the table about those after USC, wasn't he?
He certainly was. And again, that crowd was pretty intense. I mean, you could sense it watching it on television. I mean, 108,000 fans, but it's been an issue, and I think it's a combination of things. It's a first year starting center. You got the quarterback, you got the offensive lineman. I think it's a combination. I think one of the penalties, remember the one where they called Nussmeier for, I guess, excessively using his hands, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. I thought that one was a bit bogus, but there were some there that were really difficult, really disturbing. Not the ones you're going to get. I think you do go into those kind of games, though, Tommy. As much as you try to practice for it, and you play the loud music at practice, and you preach on it, I think you really, when you're going in a hostile environment like that, a night game, a top 25, top 15 matchup, I think you almost you're going to expect to get a couple of them. You're going to get two or three of them, and you just hope they don't come at really tough moments, drive-killing situations, and stuff like that.
Damian Ramos had been money.
Yeah.
The third one was not his fault because the holder's not even looking when the ball is snapped and it hits him in the chest. It just was not a good night in general at all. It was a clunker. How do they recover from this?
Well, I think I jinxed it. I said in one of my articles at WWL.com that he is probably the most underappreciated guy on the team, or underrated player on the team. And then he came out and he just didn't strike the ball very well. The holds weren't great. Second time you have a snap where the holder's not even ready for it. I mean, that's very troubling again.
And crowd aside, I think that affected the momentum as well, Jeff.
Yes, and LSU does not have a primary special teams coach. And when things like that happen, that's the first thing you point to. You don't have like a number one guy that really handles these things.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, Trey Green did get involved, and I'm going to tell you my secret right here against Alabama. You know what? Who's the kicker 32 guy knocks it in the cheap seats? What's his name? The kickoff guy?
Aaron Burrell.
Yeah. Onside kick against Alabama when they least expect it, because they're expecting them to just knock it into the cheap seats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh? Can you keep that between us?
Yeah, we'll try that. But, hey, Tommy, just to close out, the path is still there for the playoffs. They're going to need a little help, but they can run the table, and they're going to be favored in every game. So the season's not over yet.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time, as always. We'll talk to you again a lot before the Alabama game. You can always go to WWL.com, find Jeff's stuff that he's got posted there. We'll take a break, then take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. I started to say Jefferson Parish. Time now, WWL First News.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.